Cutting through the clutter. This is Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk TNT.
Welcome back, my friends, to the Johnny Vedmore Show. That was two really good guests we had on. I mean, I know they evoked a lot of response in the chat, and I like that. I like having a good conversation and a good debate. My next guest is really important, and I'm going to start off again by telling you a relevant story from research that I've already done before. So we have this very special guest. Let me reveal some information which may be appropriate to the conversation. I wrote this piece of information. It comes from December 2021 from an article that's entitled Horton Downs Ideological Cloud to Toxic Secret Experiments on Millions of British People. For over a century, Porton Down has been the headquarters for Britain's chemical and biological weapons programs. During that 100 years, the scientists at the facility have murdered, maimed, and silenced countless humans during experiments akin to those committed in the death camps of Nazi Germany. Now, as the fourth industrial revolution begins to kick into gear, we should all take account of the past disasters and demand a different, more positive future. As early as 1959, 3 years after promising to only commit to defensive research, Horton Down began to dump large amounts of zinc cadmium sulfide from aircraft over populated areas in mass human experimentation that was both cruel and devastating for those affected. Horton Down was supposedly testing out how vulnerable Britain actually was to germ warfare attack. By attacking its own population. Zinc cadmium sulfide was known to be highly toxic, with cadmium causing birth defects, which have been well noted in laboratory experiments on rats, as well as being heavily carcinogenic. In August 1959, a Royal Air Force aircraft flew above the North Sea before changing course to fly along the English Channel, spraying the compound as it flew. The Ministry of Defence were what many refer to as today as chemtrailing the south coast of England. The records of readings taken during the experiments show that the majority of the chemicals released were taken by the wind in a northeasterly direction. But when the plane reached the end of its flight path, the remaining chemicals were dumped out in concentrations 1,000 times greater than anywhere else in the country. The people of Dorchester and the nearby town of East Lulworth had been dusted with what can only be described as death particles from above. These coastal Dorset tourist hotspots would have been full with many visitors during the peak of summer. But it's studying the obvious consequences of Porton Down and the Ministry of Defence's human experimentation than the consequences it had on the residents of East Lulworth, which could break even the hardest heart. Although the folks at Porton Down won't look at the evidence, the residents of East Lulworth have suffered from miscarriages, birth defects, as well as all manner of other health issues affecting them and their children, with at least 21 families affected. Thanks to the work of such researchers as Mike Kenner, we know that between 1953 and 1964, the east of England alone was sprayed with the cadmium-based compound on over 75 different occasions. Mike Kenner, an activist researcher, discovered documents detailing the Norwich and Bedford Porton Down-led mass human experimentation trials. Kenner's investigation initially showed that there were 12 large-scale experiments conducted by Porton Down in these trials. On further investigation, this number would increase to 70 large-scale experiments, and by 2006, there were almost 100 different experiments noted during this period, covering large parts of the UK. He would also gather other technically important evidence, uncovering Porton Technical Paper number 794, which, as Kenner writes, detailed a number of experiments where radioactive gas and zinc cadmium sulfide particles were released from AERE Harwell and were tracked for at least 60 kilometres downwind. Another top secret document out of Porton Down that Kenner uncovered was Porton Technical Paper 885, which detailed around 36 operations involving the spraying of zinc cadmium sulfide by Porton Down scientists in Bedfordshire during 1963. This paper showed that Porton Down scientists were not limited to dropping concentrated zinc cadmium sulfide from planes, dispersing the chemicals over a wide area, but in these trials, they were actually spraying the chemicals at ground level out of vehicles as they would drive around. This incredibly reckless display of complacent and murderous scientific exploitation would have caused the residents of Cardington in Bedfordshire to receive higher dosage of inhaled zinc cadmium sulfide than if sprayed from a plane. So we know that Porton Down was spraying unwitting population masses in the UK with toxic chemicals from aircrafts and vehicles, but Porton Down were also spraying the populations of multiple counties by boat too. In that article that I just read from, I also cover the spraying of E. coli, which was done in the same way. Porton Down has admitted conducting these experiments, but have never accepted responsibility for their consequences. Our next guest will definitely understand the importance of knowing this history in particular. Now, how do you fancy bank holiday weekend at a music festival for the Truth and Freedom Tribe with 30 awake artists, including Danny Rampling and Mobius Loop, an all-night acoustic fire pit, Bouncy Castle and Hope Sussex for the children, plus loads of amazing stalls and scrumptious food vendors? This is an event not to be missed by anyone who's aware of the truth in the world. A Stand in the Park and the Light paper present Stand in the Light, a Truth Music Festival in the beautiful Lake District on May 24th to 27th. You get 4 days camping and full access to the whole festival for just £60 plus booking fee. Children under five come free. There's no better bargain anywhere. Visit their website now to make sure you don't miss out on what's going to be a brilliant weekend for the whole of Freedom family. StandInTheLight.uk. And remember, if you missed your favorite TNT show or interview, simply listen back when you want, wherever you want. Just visit episodes on TNT website. We are also on all major podcast platforms, including Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Podbean, iHeart, and TuneIn. Now, there is no reason to miss out on anything on TNT.
Connecting the dots, painting the bigger picture.
They always have great conversations.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
So, people, on Wednesday night, the third most populous city in Ukraine, Odessa, was struck by a Russian missile, which triggered a large fire and injured more than a dozen people. Here with the story, join me once again, is TNT News producer Adam Clark, aka Ruckus. Tell us more, Ruckus, about this.
Yes, will do, Johnny. So it was actually a postal depot that was struck by a Russian ballistic missile late on Wednesday. It injured 14 people and it triggered a large fire, according to the regional governor, Ola Kiper. Kiper, K-I-P-E-R. This is the third missile attack on the city in as many days. The regional governor took to the Telegram messaging app and said that one of the injured required hospital treatment. The head of the Nova Pochta Postal and Courier Company, which was, I believe, the building that was hit, Volodymyr Poporishnyk, said on Facebook that all 18 employees on duty had made their way They had made their way safely to a bomb shelter before the missile hit a loading section of the depot. Pictures and video posted online showed flames and billowing clouds of smoke engulfing buildings and firefighters training their hoses on areas still ablaze. Most of the loading area appeared to have been reduced to a shell. That was due to reporting there from Reuters. And it's interesting because that apparently literally took place on the eve of another large fire in recent history that took place in the same area. That's right. It was 10 years ago on May 2nd, 2014. this is, we're talking Odessa now. We had scores of protesters were killed in the heart of the port city on that day. That was 10 years ago. This was after they were chased by a mob into a governmental building, the local House of Trade Unions, which was then set on fire and barricaded. The people were burned alive. At least 40 people died in the blaze. The aggressors had supported the armed coup. Can't talk today, guys. The armed coup in Kyiv weeks earlier and backed the new authorities that had seized power in Ukraine. The victims were staging daily demonstrations, protests against the changes. Speaking to this, since it is the anniversary, Kyiv's failure to prosecute those who were responsible for the mass killing of the anti-coup activists 10 years ago in Odessa is a quote-unquote shameful page in Ukraine's history, according to Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov. Peskov told journalists, quote, "We remember everyone who tragically died then. We are convinced that people behind this crime must be punished. The statute of limitations does not apply to such crimes," end quote. Ukrainian officials have claimed that the deaths in Odessa were the result of a provocation by would-be separatists. They allege that a small group attacked a much larger rally of football fans and led them to a nearby protest encampment of anti-coup activists, resulting in a clash. Officials in Kyiv blame the failure of firefighters to swiftly respond to the fire in the House of the Trade Unions on the general chaos of the situation. The official death count arising from the incident was 48, including 6 people who died in clashes that took place on the streets. Moscow considers the outburst of violence to have been a deliberate attempt to terrorize people in the Russian-speaking city into submitting to the post-coup government and its anti-Russian policies. The Russian Foreign Ministry said in a statement marking the 10th anniversary of the tragedy, quote, "Odessa was a bone in the throat of the regime, which wanted to put on their knees the residents of the city who it hated, and to drown any resistance in blood. The radicals set the building on fire. They finished off those who jumped out trying to escape the fire," end quote. The statement specifically condemned President Vladimir Zelensky's inaction after he vowed during his election campaign in 2019 that, quote, "under his governance, Ukrainian laws and the principle of the inevitability of punishment would be strictly upheld," end quote. Peskov's comments on Thursday came in response to remarks made by Viktor Medvedchuk, the former Ukrainian opposition leader who was forced into exile under Zelensky's presidency. The politician claimed that the senior post-coup leadership, including acting president Alexander Cherchnev and cabinet-level officials, had orchestrated the mass killings. In an interview with TASS, T-A-S-S, Medvedchuk branded the alleged plotters as quote-unquote feral fascists and condemned, quote, "the fact that Western, quote unquote, democracies have not taken issue with this terrible, cruel crime in 10 years since," end quote. And Johnny, if I'm not mistaken, to this day, mainstream Western propaganda and media outlets point to the fact that Russia, and myself reporting this story, is just propaganda coming from Russia. So again, as of today, I must be a Russian bot, my friend. What say you about this report?
Yeah, remember back in the day in Twitter, back then, we were all becoming Russian bots, weren't we? Because it was about to come up to the time when Trump was going to be coming in to run for president. And of course, everybody was a Russian bot then. Everybody was on board. And I'm looking across again in the chat, and Prince of Persia said, the Americans killed those people in Odessa. And I completely agree with that, because to be honest, the American and the neocon, the people out of who were, you know, running the same operations. I talk about what happened on Twitter with being called a Russian bot. That was run out by Hamilton 68. That was run out of the German Marshall Fund by the Alliance for Securing Democracy, who I've done a lot of work on. And the Alliance for Securing Democracy were the same people who were the neocons pushing the agenda of change in Ukraine and are still concentrated out of the German Marshall Fund on regime change in all of those regions, including Georgia and some other regions around Russia, of course, to destabilize the neighboring countries. So all of this went well for them. And in 2014, when that happened, when the Maidan happened, I mean, what you had was a load of events which took place, which saw Ukraine's political the people who were in charge of Ukraine's political infrastructure changed completely, to the point where their allegiance was definitely with the Americans, with the neocon establishment. And so the West do not want to touch any of this with a 10-foot barge pole, of course, because they are completely complicit in what's going on in Ukraine. Everything that's been happening in Ukraine would not have happened unless the Americans had pushed, you know, I talked about this the other day, 30,000 NGOs it took for them to cause Ukrainians to turn against their cousins in Russia. And they'd always seen themselves, they'd had a complicated history, but they'd always seen themselves as close relatives up until the point when suddenly in the noughties, in the early 2000s, at the turn of the millennium, you saw a completely different theme get pushed upon those people by those who were aligned with the Alliance for Securing Democracy. So this is just all part of the agenda. I mean, this is really interesting that this sparks that debate again. And I don't mean that to be a pun in there, but, you know, there's going to be many sparks from these missiles that will remind people of the injustice that's happened in the past, especially. Thank you for that report, Adam. I take it you're going to come back tomorrow, aren't you, and join us again for another bit of news, yeah?
Lord willing, my friend, I will see you then.
I love you. So you're listening to today's news talk on TNT.
TNT's Patrick Henningsen.
All the focus of the West, of Washington and its allies, are all focused on Israel right now, to support and help Israel and to somehow contain and deter Iran. Okay. So that means that Russia kind of has an open field with regards to what it wants to do. So think about that for a moment. Could we have a situation in this new world, this multipolar world, where the Iranians and the Russians, they're allies, and certainly Russia's not going to slap Iran on the wrist for this latest salvo against Israel? Why? Because it absolutely ties up the United States and its allies right now in the Middle East.
Patrick Henningsen on today's News Talk, TNT.
One scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
When the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
I'm relying on luck, but who knows if it'll be on my side.
When it comes to disasters and emergencies, it's not a matter of if, but when. Take control. 1. Assess your needs. 2. Make a plan. 3. Engage your support network. Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell.
Ladies and gentlemen,
today's news talk.
News and information.
TNT Radio.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk TNT. My guest in this hour is an amazing woman. I hope I'm able to give her hard work justice with the right questions. Anyone who heard my latter monologue that I just made will know that I've done a lot of work on this subject, and you will be aware that she will always be welcome on the Johnny Vedmore Show for sure. Caroline Corum is Master Booms and Sinkhole Observer. She collaborates with other observant researchers on super science and warfare digs. Caroline runs The Boom Review, a Substack publication with thousands of subscribers. In this newsletter, she and her team of researchers explore seemingly unconnected incidents happening around the world. Their research takes a different approach, seeking the truth by working with raw data, decoding, coding, and relying on instinct and simplicity. Caroline and her team pick apart events that don't make sense and piece them back together to create a coherent narrative. Important work. You can find her on X at Caroline Corum UK, Corum spelled C-O-R-A-M UK, and find The Boom Review at carolinecorum.substack.com. Caroline, welcome to the Johnny Vedmore Show. I've been really looking forward to speaking with you. How are you today?
Yeah, good. Thank you, Johnny. It's been a very busy week, and we'll get onto that hopefully shortly.
Oh, I think we will, because I have a wordy question for you to begin with. I watched you on the Neil Oliver show the other day on GB News, and I was not surprised to see the old tropes being pulled out of the bag to undermine your argument by meteorologist Jim Dale, who claimed the idea of chemtrails was akin to theories of aliens, flat earth, and green cheese. Do you think Mr. Dale is aware of the hundreds of recorded experiments by the Ministry of Defense where they sprayed carcinogens such as zinc, cadmium, sulfide over the British population and then recorded how many people were admitted to hospital? Or was Mr. Dale being totally disingenuous and perhaps working for the other side?
I can answer that. I'm going to be verbose if you don't mind as well, Johnny, because what we discovered was that zinc, cadmium, sulfide actually creates a net, like a little box. And the two elements, zinc sulfide and cadmium sulfide, normally float around on their own. They're kind of produced as single compounds, but these two are joined together. They're not inhalable. You can't inhale them at all. They're far too large to go through the lung membrane. So even if they did spray it, which I suspect is very likely because the chemical that we think we're being regularly treated with by hostile forces is attracted to a double sulfur. And by joining those two compounds together, you get a double sulfur, and that will contain the toxin in theory. In theory, that's the theory. But I'm sure that Jim Dale does know about those experiments, and I'm sure that he must know about ice nuclei. Well, I would hope he would anyway.
Yeah, indeed. I felt angry watching that interview, to be honest. I have to say, how often do you get painted as a conspiracy theorist when talking about provable facts then?
A lot. A lot. There was a huge pile on by the time I came off there were hundreds of people kind of lining up ready to call me a Looney Tune. We blocked a lot of them because, to be honest, all they do is get in the way of serious research and to reaching the people who need to know. And for us, our main objective is to tell people what they need to know so they can protect themselves from adverse conditions, anything that is going to harm them.
Yeah, indeed. Jim Dale seemed to also question why people would think that this sort of manipulation is happening without considering that our government has a rich history in human experimentation that goes back at least 100 years. We know probably more, but chemical-wise, definitely 100 years.
I can tell you there are probably other countries that have done far more, Johnny. The research that we've done goes back to 1400s, and I know that you know this period very, very well yourself. We looked at the Germanic central states and Prussia, and we know that they started their experiments back in the 1400s in the mines that the Fugger bankers had, and they were way ahead of us. We really were lagging so far behind when it came to World War One that we needed to catch up in order to be able to mitigate anything that they threw at us. And they've thrown a lot at us, a lot, and they're still doing it. So, you know, I kind of feel that we can get upset about experiments done to see which way the wind blows a cloud. And I suspect also, because I believe zinc cadmium sulfide was also used in America, but that was used across about 15, 16 sites. And it was also used over military bases. And I suspect that this was actually a live exercise to try and mitigate effects of an attack. So as far back as that, you know, here in London, we had the Great Smog, we had the Linford flood, all in the same year. That's not a coincidence. That's an attack, Johnny. So we have to bear in mind that whatever we are doing in the sky, and they say, oh, yeah, it was an experiment, it's like our exercises. They're not exercises. They're live exercises. And that's a big difference. It's a big difference. We're in a war, and we have been for a very long time. It kind of has had peaks and troughs, But at the moment, we're really digging in right down into the depths. And I mean, pardon the pun, you know, we know that a lot of this is going on underground. And what we've discovered is that at the beginning of COVID, which is, let's say, they kind of blew the starter's whistle, as it were, for the public disclosure, this has all been about learning. It's a learning process for all of us. You know, what is real, what isn't real? And as we've been watching what's been going on in the sky, we discovered all these apps that show us what's going on underground, and we matched that with stories, live stories about, you know, fires and substations being blown up and floods and hundreds of different things, or thousands actually, and reports of gunfire in the middle of the night, Johnny. So I don't know whether you heard, last night we had a huge storm in the south of the UK that tracked in from France. It actually tracked in from Germany and France. I've been locating certain what we call pinpoint plumes where we suspected that lightning is being made from. And this happens again and again and again. It happened in Oklahoma the other day. So we look for these pinpoint plumes, and that to us, if you did a microplastics test, you would find them right there. So in remote areas, they are setting these lightning seeding into an already existing storm. And that, the lightning, together with any toxins in us, COVID, I call it COVID poisoning because that's what it is a combination of the toxin, number 33 on the periodic table, and of lightning radiation, and the two together cause COVID. So we've had a bit of a dousing of number 33, and then we get a round of lightning. And if you've been watching on Friday, Johnny, you might have seen Sam from our Sky and Earth team. She found a clip of a track done the night before of the RAF. I can't remember what plane it was. It might have been a C-130 or a Stratotanker. But anyway, they went up in the middle of the night with a bunch of giraffes. Don't ask me why. We think we know why. It's to do with radar, but that's another message. It's not really connected totally to the track that they did. But they did what we call paper clipping, which is a paperclip shape, round and round and round. And then they drew a love heart at the top, and they said it was in aid of the Great Ormond Street Hospital. And because obviously they have a love heart as their logo, I believe. And then the next day, we kind of were looking at it, and everybody was looking at what it was. And then I thought, well, I'm going to have to look at what's going on weather-wise. And Ali B, one of our other trackers, she spotted some lightning in Spain and France, and it was tracking north to us. So we knew at that point that if we weren't going to put a warning out, so the video that I put out on Saturday was a warning. Basically, you could potentially feel palpitations, migraine. And the gentleman on the TV news the night before, he had a neurological issue. We think that's connected as well. But the storm moved very, very slowly because that paperclip actually put a block in, and it meant that it fizzled out before it got to us. Anyway, carry on. Sorry.
Yeah. I just got to go to the news quickly for a 30-second break, but I got loads more questions when we get back. So we will talk a lot. You're listening to Today's News Talk on TNT.
Here we go again.
All right, let's go.
TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. Colombian President Gustavo Petro has announced that Colombia will sever diplomatic relations with Israel, citing what he termed as the genocidal actions of its government. In an interview with Time magazine, former President Donald Trump outlined his policy priorities for a possible second term, focusing heavily on immigration and economic policies. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken met with Israeli leaders, including Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and President Isaac Herzog, to push for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza.
Are you enjoying listening to TNT Radio?
Do you think we're doing a good job?
Then please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review or comment on Facebook, Gab, or Getter? Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
I am talking with Caroline Curran. We're talking about some stuff you're not allowed to speak about out there, and I love it. It just fills me up with joy that I'm actually speaking with someone who's got this much knowledge. Now, most of your research covers what's clearly classified as like geoengineering. I lived in Chile for a while, and I saw zero contrails, zero chemtrails, zero man-made clouds. So why do we allow this to happen in the Western world and in the Northern Hemisphere? Why are we different?
It's funny you should say that, Johnny. I'm afraid it doesn't not happen there. It just didn't happen when you were there. We have had reports coming in from South America, actually, that there is quite a lot of weather modification, we call it. Geoengineering can be anything to do with the ground, underground water and everything. So we call it weather modification to be more specific. So no, it doesn't just happen in the West. It's just the West are better at mitigation of the various toxins we're being exposed to. So, for example, I was telling Neil the other day that aluminium oxide actually is a perfect fit for the gas version of the chemical 33. And so basically, if they put it in the sky and our guys come and lay a cloud blanket underneath, it's just going to be absorbed by that. I mean, it's not perfect, doesn't absorb all of it, but it absorbs a lot of it.
You mentioned lightning earlier, and I've heard you refer to it as dark lightning. Now, yes. That's something that I don't know about. So what is it, and why should we all know about it? Because obviously it seems like it's important.
Yeah, normally, you know, 500 years ago, we probably wouldn't have seen more than a few bolts of lightning per storm. And now we're seeing, I think yesterday, 40,000 bolts was the tally just from the storm that went from Paris up into the UK. So 40,000 is huge. So if you think that one bolt across the sky might emit, what happens is when the energy builds up, it creates an ionic charge. And then when the lightning bolt explodes or bursts, it then emits gamma radiation. And it's a very small dose per bolt, very, very small, and it spreads out and you wouldn't really notice it if there were just one bolt and there were no chemicals in the air. Well, obviously, if you're standing next to it, it's going to make you feel a bit rough. But if you times that by 40,000 bolts, and then you consider that COVID is a hemolytic disease or poisoning, and that's where your red blood cells are popped, and out comes all of the iron. So it's all unbound. It's not protected. So we metals in our body don't wander around on their own. They have to be protected. We have to be protected from them. And iron particularly, it can be very, very toxic. So when this gas comes along, it breaks the iron free, and then the lightning bolts start. And everybody starts to feel really unwell. They get migraines. They might get palpitations. They might get worse, actually. Gentleman the other day did end up in hospital with a heart attack, I believe.
Definitely want to say to the people in the chat, if you've got any questions, ask them. I know someone asked earlier, he said, when Caroline comes on, ask her about heat spots. But that's all that they said. Ah. So I don't know if that makes any sense. Please tell me.
Yeah, so heat spots, well done for asking, because
he's a very good guy.
Yeah, we have to go with our gut on this. And we do know from one person that dared to go down on the ground to check out a really big section of heat spots that was showing on the map. Unfortunately, they got wise to the fact that we were going down, or people were going down, excuse me. And they basically made it so we couldn't zoom in on the map anymore. So we roughly know where these things are happening. But basically, this person went down to this site with a lot of heat underneath, showing on Zoom Earth, and they basically, they could see smoke coming out of the ground, and there was non-civilian fire people there who were checking the heat of the tarmac. That's a heat spot. Right. It's underground. Excuse me. You might have to talk for a minute. Did you say? It's underground.
Because I mean, I've seen a lot of talk over the past few years about you know, forest fires and things like that being caused by maybe lasers from above, weather something, satellites. But do you think they're drawing up heat from the ground then, from underneath the earth?
I think we're being invaded, or they're trying to. They did invade us, and we've beaten them back from what we can tell. Because usually what we were seeing was a lot of this aerial activity that isn't chemtrails, let's call it. And that was happening inland all over the country at low level. And that usually for us, we interpret that as there are hostile troops under there. And what they do is they use us as shields. So they will make us a bit sick and then a little bit more sick. And so that when the guys kind of try to go in to get them out, they can kind of make us sicker. Do you see what I mean? So it's kind of edging us towards the point where we would become very ill and overwhelm the services that would be able to help us in any other circumstance. But if you make everybody really, really ill, then it's going to get overwhelming. I mean, Plymouth Hospital, for example, was overwhelmed the other day from the first round of lightning. And then they had another, you know, round of lightning on the south coast yesterday. So the idea, we believe, I mean, the military are probably sitting there giggling at what I'm saying, but this is roughly where we're at, that we don't see any of this low-level gridding or very little inland in the UK now. Most of it is offshore, high-level, and that's just generally to keep us quite poorly. And when they do go inland, it's very quick, and, you know, they don't stick around for very long. And I guess that's because we are doing quite well in beating them away from the door, basically, underground. Yeah,
that's another, I mean, that's another complicated thing to go into. We're going to go for a quick break and maybe get some water during that time. You're listening to today's News Talk on TNT.
My baby's back from the West Coast.
Hear those pictures that you asked for your school project? First day of school, cute as a button.
So long ago.
Oh, here's Grandma Florence after that flood wiped out the whole neighborhood.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. And it's the best way to protect that legacy.
Those beans smell heavenly.
Give Mom a little credit.
You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year.
Great idea.
At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local I can send you with Elaine.
Okay.
Smart.
I'm coming to share with you guys.
Protect your legacy. Plan for natural disasters today. Visit ready.gov/plan.
The Kids Cancer Project funds vital research into childhood cancers. And you fund the Kids Cancer Project. Funding research means giving children back their lives. And who knows what kids with cancer could grow up to do? The Kids Cancer Project. Survival starts with science. Donate now.
The Kids Cancer Project.
Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk, TNT.
Welcome back, my friends, to the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk TNT. I'm here with Caroline Corum, and we're talking about some stuff you're not allowed to speak about. If you dare speak about it on the mainstream, you will have some guy brought on who knows nothing about anything to shoot you down, because that's what they do. So you get loads of pushback, and I see people like I spoke to Nikki Florio. I don't know if you know her work earlier in the week, who is totally, she's a totally balls out researcher on geoengineering. And many people like yourself are raising the alarm. Why is there such pushback? Is it just simply that this is government level operations and they don't want us looking into it?
Well, as I said last week, this is not, it's not really a government operation. It's more a military operation, and I believe it's global. And there's not one faction. There are two or more. And I believe, for example, when Ukraine happened, that actually Putin decided that he was going to go over to the other side. And actually, Russia does that frequently throughout history. You know that well, Johnny, I'm sure. So that they kind of don't really stay where they're meant to stay. They kind of go with whoever they feel is going to give them the best deal at the end of the day. I think people push back because they don't understand it more than anything. And this is what we try and do, is try and explain what's happening. And with this lightning storm, it's really brought home to people, the first lightning storm after the RAF flight, it really brought home to people that, number one, the military are trying to help us, because they definitely blocked that storm, definitely 100% blocked that storm. I'm going to do a breakdown on it later in the week to show everybody exactly how they did it. I don't know what materials they used, but the technique that they've used to block the system, and literally the storm just fizzled out. But nobody knows who's behind all of the seeding that goes into making a storm a storm. We don't know that. We can have wild guesses, you know, which country. We can say Russia, but who else? There's got to be lots of others. They've got so many allies. And then there are the people that we can't see. So there is definitely a faction that we can't see behind all of these people that everybody's getting cross about. So the big Bill Gates of the world, he's like a front man. And then there's a whole bunch of stuff going on behind it. And I don't, you know, I don't even think he's Jewish. So I don't think that's, you know, that's a whole other cover story. Do you see what I mean? So a lot of factions throughout the world have been used as a convenient cover to just hide the real inner workings of the people who are controlling all of this and controlling all of us, Johnny. You know that. You know, they control our every single aspect of our lives. And this was not introduced by the British governance ever. I mean, in fact, I tracked it back. The two-party system, you'd be interested in, was introduced by the Duke of Marlborough. He forced it on Queen Anne, you know, a woman, after William III, who was Dutch from the House of Orange. And he was actually serving in the army on the continent under Frederick the Great of Prussia. So that was his brainchild. And there are very specific reasons why he did that. Everything that this particular king did was very subversive. And they don't seem to have lost that throughout history. Everything has always got a cover story ahead of it, a person ahead of it. So I think we need to be, you know, be very aware that, you know, whilst we hear about Russia, that there's a lot of other history that people don't know about. I write a lot about it. I understand you've done quite a lot of work on it as well. And you can't just say, oh, you know, we're being attacked. Yes, we are being attacked, but not by who people think we're being attacked. So there are the government, to be honest, I have to say, Johnny, I don't really think are in charge of any of the, you know, the war aspect of things. I think they are just ticking along, doing as they're told, to make sure that the machine of Britain keeps running and that we are still have food and that we, you know, that the trains keep running, even though they're horrifically expensive, and that the schools stay open and people can go to work. I mean, I think that's the bare minimum, that we can put food on the table and keep the lights on. I think that's really what they're doing, is making sure all of that happens. But in terms of the war, they're not the decision makers.
Completely. I so agree with this. I think I try and explain. I was explaining this yesterday to someone, that ideologies are a blip within history that are used as tools for very nefarious men who we don't, and women who we don't see, to do their nefarious actions. I was trying to explain this through the paradigm of Zionism. Is people are saying to me, but Zionism is in control of everything. It's no, Zionism is just being used as the current tool. It's existed. Yeah. It's been in power and put into place by the powerful for 75 years. Yes, it's existed for longer, but the power that it's had has existed since the state of Israel was recognized. And there's a whole load of things that happened after that, where you see how Zionism is used as a tool to shift everybody's attention away from the fact that all of these guys are involved in it. All of the guys at the top are involved. They're all part of the same system. And that these ideological blips are used as tools. They're used as tools to distract us, so we keep pointing at the wrong people all of the time. So, that's a refreshing take for me when I hear you talk mm-hmm. like that about yeah. history as well. I don't think people really understand how history repeats. They say they do, but they don't really understand yeah. it until they've studied history and seen the similarities. Now, talking about that, when the British, they'd spent decades spraying E. coli, zinc cadmium sulfide, all of these different ways to change our atmosphere as well over the population, why is it so hard for people to believe that they might be an organized effort by the powers that be to do the same that they've always done? Why is this so hard for people to grasp?
Yeah, you've brought another really good one up, E. coli. I don't know whether you're aware that it is one of the bacteria that is most resistant to arsenic. I've said it. So it is quite likely they might have used it as some sort of remediation to see what happened. You don't get sick from, I mean, to be honest, if I were to say that they sprayed everybody with E. coli, I actually wouldn't believe that. I would say that we are being blamed for that. I think that would be very reckless. I think they know that, for example, Russia has had a bioweaponry kind of set of experiments going for decades, you know, 100 years plus. So I think it highly unlikely that we did that. It's possible that we tried to solve the problem. I mean, we've had strep A, for example, here in the UK and various other bacteria, but we know that this is part of their arsenal, the hostile forces. So yeah, I think it's difficult to say, well, I know that bacteria came from British government, because how do we know that those experiments, you know, how do we know that those experiments weren't written up as experiments just to hide the fact that we were in a war and that World War II hadn't actually ended and it was still going? You know, which would be easier for everybody, you know, to go from World War II, where bombs were dropped and people were killed in that way, to suddenly find ourselves in this war of invisible enemies? So bacteria, chemicals, lightning radiation, you know, the bomb, somebody said the bomb has already dropped. It's been around us for decades and we just haven't realized it. Flu is radiation. That is it. What it does is you have this toxin in you and your immune system doesn't recognize it because it comes in the form of a gas. So very much like carbon monoxide, you don't know that you're sick with it until you're so full of it or something else happens, like you go into a lightning storm that shakes it all up and your body goes, I don't feel well. So all of these things are compounded, and these guys were so way ahead of us in science that I think we have been on the back foot trying to get ahead, trying to solve the problems. You notice that people aren't as sick this year as they were. For example, 2022 was terrible, or might have been last year, can't remember. Anyway, one of the years was really bad, and then the next year was really good. I think this year's been good. 2023 might have been good, and then 2022 was terrible. But we know, like when people get on an aeroplane, you're putting yourself a little bit at risk. You can't predict what the weather is going to be like. So the best way of us trying to mitigate for ourselves personally, and I think this is what our big long journey has been about since COVID poisoning started, is to learn how to detox, learn how your body reacts to things. And if one kind of method isn't working, trying something else. And it's so important that we all take individual responsibility for our health and stop assuming that a pharmaceutical drug will take everything away. It doesn't. It just layers upon layer of layers. And it will more than likely imbalance the body so that actually the body can't cope anyway. Do you see?
Yeah. They use chemicals to draw us into using more chemicals, and it's all in different ways. One of the questions that come up, Lorianne asked, how can we protect ourselves?
I have done a few threads today, actually. Just, I keep it really basic. I'm going to tell you what I do, because I'm not a doctor, and it varies. It just depends on what phase we're in. So I take alpha lipoic acid and taurine as my arsenic binder. I take those usually once a day if we're not under attack. And if we are under attack, I take it twice a day. And I find those really useful actually for migraines. I took a dose once when I had a migraine of the two, and it just went. I couldn't believe it. In 5 minutes, it was like a miracle. I was like, oh my God, I couldn't believe it. And both of these compounds are found in the human body. The only problem is that we can't make enough of it to mitigate, you know, all of the stuff we're being exposed to. And the other thing is that the body can't synthesize it because it's all of this chemical is sticking to all of our enzymes and kind of doing proteins. So we actually can't make enough anyway. So this is the genius of the king of poisons, is that you can't tell it's there until it's a disaster, basically. So a maintenance dose of that for me is for sure. And then magnesium is always useful when you're poorly, always, always useful. Citrate's nasty on the tummy. I don't take that. I use glycinate. Zinc as well, because that's displaced very easily by arsenic. And then another one I've looked at recently, and I need to do a bit more work on this to understand what's going on. I'm taking an electrolyte. Now, some of the electrolytes have phosphate and some don't. And the one that I was taking before didn't have it. But since I started taking the one with phosphate, so it has sodium, magnesium, potassium, and phosphate, it just seems like I have really bad asthma, and now I might have had a cough, but my lungs feel like they're more solid. My skin is better. Everything is just a little bit better than it was every day that I keep this up. So electrolytes are so important, and I would say particularly make sure that you're getting potassium, sodium, and phosphate.
That's good advice.
From a not doctor, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that's
don't
probably
be afraid.
The best advice.
Also, sorry, Johnny. I just wanted to just add something there. Don't be afraid of having an antibiotic. Antibiotics are heavy metal chelators, which we didn't know initially, but they are. They take the toxic iron out, but they don't. Some of them work on arsenic, but not really very many. But mainly it's the heavy metals, the iron. And also asthma inhalers are okay, but you need to keep them going. And they are protective. they are protective. And I would say also, I had an episode really bad asthma a few months ago, and a nebulizer treatment at hospital worked brilliantly, absolutely brilliantly. So that is my arsenal. That's it. And, you know, I'm not afraid of having those. I wouldn't take other stuff, but those seem to be working. And also, diet is really important. Listen to your body. You know, if you eat food and then you fast a lot afterwards, pardon the pun, you know, don't eat it, because there's obviously something going on. But then it could be something in the air. So you have to experiment a bit, play around.
Yeah. Caroline Corum, thank you so much for your time, for your honesty. I wish you all the best with your research. It's been nothing but a pleasure to meet you and speak with you today. Thank you.
You too, Johnny. Take care.
Right. Hey, voila, mes amis. Oh. That's another adventure down a rabbit hole on today's Johnny Vedmore show. For those traveling to the weekend Truth Festival tomorrow, have a wonderful time. I know there's a few people in the chat there who are all going off down there, and I hope they have a lovely time. I hope you have a wonderful time. I really do wish that I could come with you. Up next on TNT is the Mark Morano Show. And until tomorrow, my friends, stay safe, stay awake, don't go changing, and thanks for being with me on the Johnny Vedmore Show. See you tomorrow on today's News Talk, TNT.